Just want to stop and ask the Lord's guidance here. Good to have you here. Good to be with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom and the privilege to come together to worship you. We thank you for the blessed Holy Spirit, whose ministry is to glorify you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, as we kind of remember this morning that walking with you often takes us through some hard things, I pray for the encouragement of the truth that you're behind it all for your children to become mature believers. So guide our time, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. On Wednesday night, our memory verse was from Ephesians 2:10, but I kind of back it up to 8 and 9, where it's a wonderful verse to point out that salvation is a gift from God. He comes, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So it's not of our doing. But then our memory verse, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so the truth is that God is at work in us to bring us in this life before glory to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29, it points out that those that he foreknew would come to him, that he destined them ahead of time to be conformed to the image of his son. And I was just pointing out Wednesday night that in Genesis 1:27, God created us, created man in his own image. In his image he created us. But that image was marred by sin, our first parents. And so they then had died spiritually. There was in a world led by the wicked one, and God graciously sent his son to bring us back to the Lord, to bring him back to himself and in his family. But then his plan is in a work through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through his working in our life to make us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word is so clear that the hard things are to conform us to his image. It will be complete only at his coming when we are changed to be like him in our resurrection at that time. But as we think about the hard things, and I know everybody goes through hard things, it's very important also to understand John 10:10, where Jesus came and said, "The thief cometh but for to steal, kill, and destroy." That's his plan. That's his what he's at working at all the time. "But I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly." And because of that, I shared before, but I choose every day to first of all affirm that I accept what's of the Heavenly Father, sight unseen, because his way we know is right. It's his desire for us is exactly right. We don't know what all the process will be, but I think it's very important to choose to accept what comes from his hand, what he intends for the day. On the other hand, totally refuse and reject what Satan has planned for that day. And then put on the whole armor of God for protection. Choose to abide in God's secret place under his shadow, as in Psalm 91, with all the wonderful promises there. We need the protection. But also then to know that God's plan, that it sometimes is hard for us. There's three things that I would look at today that produce hard things in our life. One of them is chastening or correction that needs to be done in our lives. A second is that our faith is tested to grow us in faith and in our maturity in the Lord. And the third would be in pruning, that if you are walking with the Lord and being fruitful, from John 15 is clear, the Father will prune us. So that often includes some kind of suffering as well. But in Hebrews, I want to look at this matter of correction. We all, I don't know what age you came to be a Christian, but we come out of an old life that is living for ourselves, that we have a fallen nature, and there are things that need to be changed in our life. And God is very faithful in doing that. I think it's important to know that the Lord Jesus Christ went through here. So the things that we go through, though he was sinless, because he's our high priest, the function of a high priest is to live among the people, be taken from among the people, that he lives what they live and understands. And so Jesus is our high priest. Hebrews 5:8 says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And we also know that he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. So praise God for an understanding high priest of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we come to this passage in Hebrews 12 that we should not despise when the Lord chastens us, or he brings something in our life to help us understand that something's out of kilter, something that needs to be made right. And also pointing out, if you don't have correction, if you keep on sinning and you don't get caught, God is not pointing out and spanking you for it, you better look at if you really are his child. Because he says, if you're without chastening, you're not his child. He does care enough to correct us and whatever that takes. I had to think back to a couple of years I taught in the junior high, and one of the students was challenged by other students to go and steal a package of gum. He got caught right away. And in dealing with him later, I pointed out it's a gracious thing that you were caught, because pretty much evident God's going to take care of it. He's not going to let you get by with it. So, and says if we've had good fathers, and they did the best they could in correcting us. Trying to so work in our lives that we don't get away. And I just stopped and thought about that a little bit. I have a new burden for my grandchildren to do what I can to share with them, to pray what I can, that they will be good fathers, that they will be good parents in a day when there's many homes are just letting their children do what they want to do. And I kind of wrestled with using this illustration, but I just thought, you know, parents are young and inexperienced in how to really discipline their children rightfully, and it's very important for Christians that they be led of God's Spirit. Mary and I, we sort of, God's preparation, our second year of marriage, we moved into being dorm parents to 15 or 17 teenage girls for a number of years, and we learned a lot, and probably not enough. But anyway, I wanted to share an illustration with you, I guess, One of our daughters, around the age of two, Mary thinks she was 18 months, I'm not sure. We thought she was pretty young, but she was very willful. And one day, the issue came up, you need to tell your brother you're sorry. Not going to do it. And I had somewhere I thought I had to go, but the Lord said, it's now. I mean, he just put that in me. This is important now. So my daughter and I held her. We walked in the yard, and I said, you must tell your brother you're sorry. Gonna do it. Mary wasn't sure she understood. I knew she understood. So we walked the yard, and I didn't hurt her, but I patted her bottom and said, you gonna do it? We were out there 45 minutes, and just we would walk a while, and I'd talk to her how important it is to forgive, how important it is to be obedient, and pat her again, and nope. Anyway, we were there about halfway through it, she said, could I have a pillow? And we gave her a pillow, but I kept the process going. And after about 45 minutes, she said, yes, I will say I'm sorry. I will say I'm sorry. And she did it. And we sat on the porch for quite a while, her in my lap, just enjoying each other. It was such a relief to her. And I just want to say, the next time something came up, she almost beat us to do what we wanted her to do. God used that to deal with her will. I can testify today she has a strong will for God, and I just share that it's so important to God. Hopefully, as parents, we can do the things led by the Spirit of God to help our children in their growth process. But God is interested in that, and he does that, and it's so very important. The thing is that the writer in Hebrews said, Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It's no fun. Hopefully that we get the point of why we're going through it if God is correcting us. But he says, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, which means responding to what God is doing. God lets us, however he chooses, in a kind of a chastening thing, a hard thing for us, so that we will be partakers of the Lord's righteousness. Those words, nevertheless, afterward, I've kind of got into my heart. And I just want to say that when God's doing it, when the difficulty is of God, you can look for the nevertheless afterward. He does it for our good. He does it for our welfare. He does it that we be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is one of the things that bring us into hard times. And I think when we realize that there's something that's not pleasing the Lord that he is dealing with, we need to repent and ask his forgiveness and move ahead in his righteousness. So the next verse says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths of your feet, that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather be healed. And so I think one of the things we go through hard times at all stages, and there are ways God is so interested that we are following him and laying aside the things that need to be laid aside. And so the second that I would take you to is in James, and I think we're probably all aware of what James wrote in the first, and that is a matter of testing our faith. There is something about faith that needs to be tested to prove it. Faith is something that we believe God, we believe it's true, but we don't see it, and we wait for it, and we depend on Him. So James writes here, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. It's not what the natural man wants to hear. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. That's quite what James is saying. He will do that. He will test our faith so we will grow in maturity, and nevertheless afterward, that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. I had to think about Abraham, one of the greatest tests of faith. After they finally had Isaac, they finally got their son, and he promised their son there'd be multitudes of a nation would come out of their son. Then he says one day, I want you to take him now and I want you to sacrifice him. And as one of the, I can't remember which one that wrote, but he said, God spared us from what Abraham went through that night, as he knew in the morning he needed to obey God. But he followed through and he took Isaac and he put him on the altar, and then God stopped him. And the angel of the Lord says in Genesis 22:12, now I know that thou fearest God. I tell you, he had a new way as he went down the mountain that day. Count it all joy. The New Living Translation says, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for getting joy. years ago, I guess, back when I was a teenager, praise the Lord, I got a hold of the paraphrase, J.B. Phillips. I understand he did a paraphrase of the New Testament for his youth group or something. This is the way he put it in his paraphrase. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders. Welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find that you become men of mature character with the right sort of independence. So if we are walking with the Lord, we're serving the Lord, and hard things come along, it's very important to have a perspective that God is training us. God is letting me walk through difficulties to learn to trust Him, and James also says that it works patience, and let patience have her perfect work. Nevertheless, afterward, perfect, entire, wanting nothing, God is using it for our maturity, traveling home. I think it's helpful also in verse 5 that James goes on and says, if any of you lack wisdom in this process to know how to handle it, you only have to ask him and he will graciously respond, giving you the information you need. I do think that if you are accepting what is from God, you're refusing what's from the enemy, you're arming yourself, and God allows things to come into your life, you can relax and trust him that he is working in you to produce godliness. We have a father that is building his family. He lost his family in Genesis to the serpent, and he's bringing a family back to him through his son paying the price for us. And he's wanting to get us ready to be a family throughout the eternity. The third is that I would share is a matter of pruning. It's only a brief statement. Jesus said, John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He that does not abide in me, he takes away. But he abides in me and is fruitful, he prunes it, that it might bring forth more fruit. And I think we see the picture. We're just a branch on the vine, Jesus Christ, and it's important that the branch doesn't become too interfering with the fruit of what Jesus is doing. And so he prunes. And one that I'm convinced is a picture of pruning in 2 Corinthians. Let me go to just a moment here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I think it is. Just a moment. It's actually 12. And it's that incident with the Apostle Paul. And what he says in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And what the context is, if you know that Paul was stoned, those that hated his message, and he was lifted up, he had a visitation to heaven. He said, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. I couldn't tell. But he had heard things that he wasn't lawful to come home and share. But people knew he had been stoned to death, and then he came back. And so he says, lest now people lift me up too much for my experience, I got a thorn in the flesh. And he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He felt, it's not good. This is not a good thing. And even God can use the enemy to do his work. But the answer was so gracious that the Lord then said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so sometimes we don't know everything that comes into our life. We can suspect some things, but it's pruning. We don't know what all is pruning, but he will see to it that we don't become too branchy and that we're taking away from the fruit that's being born. That's where the Father wants that emphasis. He'll use a branch, but he's after fruit. And so Paul's response, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And he goes on and on saying bad things are good because the power of Christ is going to make me strong. And so, nevertheless, afterward, more fruit, God's grace, and that's given to him. So just this thought that nevertheless afterward, if you're going through, you're walking with the Lord, something hard is coming into your life, you're not sure why it's there, but you can trust God for the nevertheless afterward. If he is correcting you, the afterward is peaceful fruit of righteousness, more maturity. If it's testing your faith, more maturity and trusting the Lord. If it's pruning, more fruit and grace that will come from the Lord. God is training his children to be more like his son. And I think it's so important to have a perspective on that. We would have the enemy come to us with fiery darts and say, God must not love you. You're walking with the Lord and you're having a difficulty. Be sure and use the shield of faith. It's so very important to understand you're walking with the Lord, you're submitting to him. Hard things come, trust him for what he's getting done in your life and the maturity that he intends. I really appreciated in Streams in the Desert recent devotional what's on the back of your bulletin. I just want to share that as we close, because I think it points out the truth of what I want to convey today. It says, in the center of the circle of the will of God I stand. There can come no second causes. All must come from his dear hand. All is well, for 'tis my Father who my life hath planned. Shall I pass through waves of sorrow? Then I know it will be best. Though I cannot tell the reason, I can trust and so am blessed. God is love and God is faithful, so in perfect peace I rest. With the shade and with the sunshine, with the joy and with the pain, Lord, I trust thee. Both are needed, each thy wayward child to train. Earthly loss, did we but know it, often means our heavenly gain. Father, I know this is a difficult area, Lord. Nobody loves to go through hard things. But if we can understand, God, that it's part of your process in making us more like your Son, it makes a world of difference. So, Lord, I pray that as we run into problems, that we might have the discernment what you're doing in our lives, and that most of all, that you want us to be like your dear Son, who also learned obedience by the things he suffered. So, Lord, I pray for that work to be done in my life, in my family's life, in our Berean family life, for your glory. Thank you for your work of grace in us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like us to take our hymnals. We're going to close with just one verse of Jesus Led Me All the Way. And I picked this because in the second verse, if God should let me there review the winding paths of earth I knew, it would be proven clear and true, Jesus led me all the way. That one day we'll understand God's process. If we are not in touch with it right now, he knows what he's doing. He's making us like his Son. Would you stand as we sing just that second verse in closing? So thank you, Heavenly Father, for your work in our lives. And as we come into a new week, may you have your way in our lives for your glory, to make us more and more like Jesus, I pray. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.